This be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Bears Music, the podcast, episode 64. And I got a special guest on the show today. I got my girl, trophy hitter, Sag. Okay, what's going on with you?
It's like that.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Just working hard. You know, it's a grind and stuff like that. I know up north it was cold for the last couple weeks or so, right?
Yeah, we actually had like 60 degree weather for the past 2 days. Left work and it's raining again.
Oh, it's raining enough?
Yeah, we had good weather. It felt like it was springtime.
Wow.
So,
I don't know what's going on, because I remember last week the Midwest, they had like negative 60 degrees and stuff like that. And down here, it was cool down here too, you know, but.
No, last week we had like
6
degrees.
Yeah, just.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
it was bleak.
How y'all deal with that? Like, with that weather?
I mean, it's kind of, it's a little weird, but I mean, for me, I just feel like it's typical. And then some people are just like, I can't believe it's da-da-da, but I'm like, you live in New Jersey, like.
Yeah.
It's, I don't understand why you're so surprised over temperatures, snow, rain. Like, we get a little bit of everything, except for, like, tornadoes or earthquakes. So we might get hurricanes, but it's like, it's so typical. We get everything over here.
Yeah, I get everything.
So they should. Yeah, so I was like, I don't even look at it like that. I'm like, I'm always prepared for the winter comes, spring comes, summer comes. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have winter 2 times, but it is what it is.
Yeah, because I know it get cold like around like October or some crazy stuff, right? Like September, October, it get kind of cool.
Right, and then it just lasts all the way till like March maybe.
Wow.
Until spring comes, yeah. Awesome.
That's what's up, so. Before we get into like the questions and stuff like that, tell the people about yourself a little bit.
All right, so yep, my name Trophy. All right, my stage name is Trophy Hitta Sag. I came up with it for the simple fact that I'm like, I love astrology, okay. So people always knew that about me. So I remember I used to work at Home Depot,
mm-hmm.
And about my first job in 9th grade, and one of my coworkers was, we were both Sagittarius, and we just called each other Sag. But I changed my name at least 5 times. But it wasn't until like actually a couple years ago when I was like, you know what, Sag just came and popped in my head,
mm-hmm.
And particularly like, it stuck with me. And then I came up with the trophy hidden part when I came up with that actually 2017,
mm-hmm.
And I was involved with this team, and every time I would go to the studio, I would come out of the studio, every song would sound like a hit.
Yeah.
So basically, it was just like, I just knew that like my sound and everything was different. So I just kept thinking of like trophies and like winning Grammys and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So I was just like Trophy for that, because every song I make deserves like an award or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hitta is just the fact that every song I make, it sounds like a hit.
It does.
Combined it with the name. So then that's where I came with the Trophy
and the Sag. That's what's up. So what was like the names you had before?
It's like, I mean, they're going to end up being known one day. But right.
Yeah.
So I had all types of names. When I first started doing music, my name was J Train.
J Train?
And that J Serene.
Oh, J Serene. Okay.
Yes, that was like in the beginning. I've literally found that on like a rap name generator on Google.
Wow.
So that's what that was. And then I was like, then I changed it to Sarizzy. Mm. Like there's Drake Drizzy, but it was just like me as Sarizzy. Like, yeah. So then I was like, I didn't like that. It sounded too young.
Yeah.
Then I had this other name. It was like a totally different field. It was like Luscious Ivory.
Luscious Ivory.
So then I was just like, all right, no, that's not it either.
You could use
so
that.
So then I was like, that's the page.
No, I'm sorry. I was saying that you could use that name one day if you want to, you know, create a comic book or something like that. That sounds like a dope superhero name.
right. But it was the age I was when I said I was, that was my name. But then when I came up with Sag and people were calling me that, I didn't feel weird, awkward. It just fit. So that's why people call me. Anyway.
Okay, that's what's up. So, like, tell me about, like, the beginnings. Like, what made you want to get into, like, hip-hop / R&B? Because that's your sound, by the way. Like.
Let me see. I mean, I was a basketball fan, so I grew up playing basketball. All types of sports, actually. But basketball was my main sport, and I started losing touch with it. But I didn't really lose touch with it until, like, I tried to play for college, and I realized I didn't have the heart for it. But then, let me see. I'm the youngest out of all of my siblings. They're, like, born in, like, the late 70s, mid-late 80s. Well, the latest 87. So, yeah, one of my sisters, I mean, growing up, I used to be in her room a lot, of course. But I used to always hear these particular artists that she would play on her, you know, CDs. But I didn't know what their names were at the time. So it was kind of like all I really heard her play was I heard her play Ashanti a lot, Alicia Keys, Destiny's Child.
Okay.
Usher. She played a lot of Usher. She wasn't really into hip hop like that. But yeah, so she played a lot of those R&B artists. And then this is around the time before, like, of course, we had online streaming. So I remember when I moved out here, which was, like, mad long ago now. It was, like, I don't know if you remember, but it's this thing called LimeWire.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And yeah. So we had LimeWire. And I just got up one day, and I was like, I wonder whatever happened to that songs that I used to hear. But I used to get all of my information about music from BET, like 106 and Park, Rap City Basement.
Good old dudes.
The Center. There was, like, the show on there, The Center, and they had a whole bunch of other stuff. Right. That's where I would get my information about music from. But I was one of those kids that get after school, 6 o'clock, come on, I'm there. Like, I'm in front of the TV, I'm watching everything, you know? Then that's where I kind of started learning about, like, the different artists and stuff. And then when LimeWire came out, I just started just looking up different, kind of remembering the lyrics that I heard when I was younger, typing it in, then realizing, like, oh, this is who sung it, da-da-da. But so all those people that I name is pretty much, like, my influence as far as how I fell in love with R&B. But then at the same time, it helped me to dig deeper into, like, going further back. So then I kind of, like, just enjoyed the whole art of it all. And things of that nature. That's when I, like, started listening to, like, the 90s, the R&B and stuff on my own. And then I started learning about hip-hop. I don't remember exactly, but I know my dad gave me my first ever rap CD, and it was Eve's first album.
Eve, yeah. Eve, to me, she's one of the most underrated female artists. Either all time or at least in our generation coming up. You know, because we had the Missy Elliotts and the Trinas and the Kims and stuff like that, but to me, she was very underrated. That's what's up, dude.
Right, and just different. One, like, hardcore, but, like mad feminine with it. But, yeah, so that was, like, the first rap album I owned. And then I just started doing more research. And then I learned about Lil' Kim. I learned about the Trina, Missy Elliott. I learned about, I went as far as back to, like, Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepper. Like, I had everybody downloaded on LimeWire. And this is when we had, like, the iPods. So, I'm talking about, I had everything. And it's like, I just fell in love with everything about it. But it's like, I did write my first song at 8, but I didn't know it was an actual song. But it's like, I just knew how to put stuff together. And it's like, I used to type stories on the computer, things of that nature.
Right.
And it wasn't until I actually realized, knew what I was doing. It was probably, like, when Bow Wow released Let Me Hold You with Omarion.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
So then I just read my own verse to it and changed the hook around. It is, like, on the big, on those notebooks with the big writings.
Yeah.
Right. So then I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. And then I believe probably eighth grade came. And my mom still wanted me to play basketball. I just didn't really, like, it wasn't my thing. I still played in high school, though, but that's anything.
How tall
so
are you?
So I went into her room one day. Just 5'7".
Oh, but so what, you play, like shooting guard or something like that? Or you play?
Yeah, I played a lot of power.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I was like, yeah. So then, I was just like, all right. I felt like it was weird because I was a good kid, but I done some bad shit. I mean stuff. But,
no, you could cuss on here. You could cuss on here.
Yeah, so I remember I had did something one day and then my mom took away all my rap CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she bought me a lot for Christmas. She took them away. And I remember I was scared to tell her that I wanted to be a rapper. So I had went into her room. I put the Kanye West Jesus Walks instrumental on. And I had the a microphone, which was, it was like a reverb mic, play around.
I get what you mean, yeah.
So I just rapped on the whole instrumental in front of her. And I was like, pretty much this is what I want to do. And then I never would have thought that, like, 2 days later, she would take me to Guitar Center and let me buy my first microphone,
mm-hmm.
my whole tool set, and just, like, everything I needed. And then I just remember, like, throughout high school, before I was able to afford to go to the studio, mm-hmm. my dad sent me to the studio. I was, like, 15. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I didn't understand how to properly format a verse. Didn't really understand bars, flow, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad spent hella bread on me that day. My mom pitched in. It took me like 3 hours just to write a verse. I never even finished the song, and I still have it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember that particular engineer saying that this might not be for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that, and I remember he gave my dad a book all about the music business. Because he was going to be my manager.
Right.
So then he said, I think you should read this. So I have the book to this day. Fast forward, when my mom, I finally used the equipment, my mom would work 3 to 11. So I'd get off of school, I would come home, and I was in her bedroom. I hooked up everything, and I would probably record, no lie, at least 4 songs a day. So, like, my Facebook would be flooded with different uploads from SoundCloud.
Damn.
I was on it constantly, and plus I had friends that were doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thought it was just like hot shit. It's like just mad consistent with everything. And it's just like, this was at the time when I was more like a hip hop type of artist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was. And so skip all of that. It probably would say up until like 2017 is when I kind of realized what kind of artist I wanted to be.
Right.
And I always knew I liked doing like little singing on songs and stuff, because I used to sing my own choruses because I didn't have anybody do it for me. So I just kind of realized that, like, yeah, like, this right here is my sound. That's why I made this song called Favors.
Oh.
And when I heard how I sang it, I was like, this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go through years throughout high school trying to figure out, like, what kind of artist am I going to be? Like, I don't even know what the hell I'm going to do. I taught myself how to rap better. I understood the format of songwriting and things of that nature. So I added that into, like, and that's why I just feel like every song when I go in, it hit me, because it's like I spend so much time doing it. And I studied songwriters that were my favorite, like Rico Love.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my top 5. And I studied up on that shit, like, so it coordinates to everything.
Right. So you basically treat like your music career like as if you was still playing basketball. Like, you study the different player movements before, I guess, you go against them, or you use like professional like players before you go into a game and try to use their style. So that's what's up. That's dope.
Yeah, I never looked at it that way, because I never, like, I love basketball, but I was, like, I just wanted to shoot all day. You know, that's what I was good at. I was good at shooting and dribbling, but I didn't want to do all that extra stuff. But it's, like, once I found that my passion was music, it was a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a wrap after. So that's what I did.
That's what's up. And then, you know what? I was about to say, when I heard your music, I always tell artists what type of, like, who I kind of compare them to. I could probably say about 3 to 4 people. I say the first one is Drake. The second one is The Weeknd. The third one is Chris Brown. And the fourth one is not Ray Sherman, but Swae Lee. And I was like, the way I hear, like, it's like how it sonically sound is like, like you said earlier, you was like, you know, you believe that you make hits and stuff like that. And I'm like, shit, I wouldn't be surprised one day that like someone just reach out to you and be like, man, I want you to come on my song, because you do have that sound, you have that mainstream voice, you know, to get on anybody, you know, track. And this is dope.
Thanks. Yeah, I was surprised you didn't say Dayz Loaf,
because
I
could tell those. Dayz Loaf too, a little bit, but like, actually, honestly, you favor more Swae Lee than anybody, and that's
good. But the crazy thing about it is, I was making on tracks before Swae Lee was even. You know what I mean? That's the thing about it. It's like I've kind of been doing it. I'm just not like out there as far as like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like it's something I've been doing. So it's like, I don't know. It's, sometimes it's weird for me.
Why
when I think of it. And it's, I don't want to be a typical artist. I don't want to be on a radio or something and then somebody be like, is this, because it sounds like this person, because you know everybody starts to sound the same,
right?
So that was like, that's not something I want to do. But it's like, I like how I go, like I like my sound, but I don't really want to like sound like anybody else.
No, I'm not
but
saying,
if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, like,
no, I'm just saying, like from the outside, like from the outside looking at it.
Yeah.
Like, you understand that, like, you know, you, the music holds a situation, but if we're just talking about somebody who's not involved in the business or any type of situation, and they just hear you on the radio and be like, this sound like this person, or that sound like that, is that them?
Right, I get what you mean.
Like, yeah. So that's why I'm saying I struggled with when I was trying to find my sound, because I'm trying to figure out, like I say, Eve was the first person I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
When I was rapping, I started rapping like Eve. Like the way I was delivering,
yeah.
When I was teaching myself, the way she delivers, her flow, the attitude, that's how I was like teaching myself to go. Then I was like, ugh, this ain't, I got to add some melodies or something, I gotta learn how to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what I did. Like, I don't know.
That's what's up. I mean, cause like, as a DJ, like every time I meet an artist, you know, even some artists like yourself, you know, they don't want to be compared or sound like someone, but you got to understand, like for example, like, Ja Rule, a lot of, like, artists like Drake and Nelly and all of them came up from him, you know? So, like, Ludacris, like, well, I'm not going to say Ludacris, but Redman, you had Eminem, Ludacris, Big Sean, like, you could tell, like, they eventually grew in their own sound, but you could tell that that some of the stuff that they like the ad-libs and all that came from like Redman, you know what I'm saying? So it's like the thing I think I love about hip hop and, you know, R&B is that everyone has their own like tree, and then like even like someone like yourself one day could have your own branch, and then all these other new artists come out and be like, wow, like they sound like Trophy Hitter, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing I love about, you know, hip hop and R&B. It's like sports. You know, you compare right. Like that.
I think you could definitely. There's some artists out there that want to separate themselves, and others don't care that they sound like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember times when I would make like a lot of love songs or whatever, and I'm just like, all right, you know, people feel it, but it's like, you know, the thing about it these days is, like, what song is going to be popping at the club?
Right.
And I don't make a lot of club songs. And I just remember, like, trying to. Well, not that I can't, but it's like, mm-hmm. I don't care to. And I would just figure, like, all right, I got to make a song like this just to get that type of love. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I might need to sound a little bit like this, or probably dumb my content down a little bit, do this and all the extra stuff. And then it's like, I've tried it, and I was like, all right, it's cool, but that's not me.
Right.
But I remember I did a little club song called Anxious or whatever, and I took Genuine's...
Hard.
Thank you. I took Genuine's, you know, it was a sample, and I used it. I was like, all right, this is as close to club I'm going to get. But it's like, sometimes I don't like feeling that way. Because it's like, for me, as an artist, I just want to be, like, known and discovered for doing my own shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not... like having the hottest club record, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like, that's how I feel. Because a lot of people I dealt with, like, nah, you got to make a song that's hot for the clubs because that's what they want to hear. That's just like Cardi B knows exactly what the clubs want to hear. You know, SZA was in the clubs. He knows what they want you want to hear. And things of that nature. So it was like just a different struggle with things I'm trying to understand or trying to be that. But I just came to the realization that, like, whatever happens, it happens, but I just got to do what's for me. But at least I know that I could make a club song if I wanted to.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can. I mean, like, to be honest with you, you know, you don't need radio no more, and you definitely don't really need the clubs. It's all about really, you put out music and you know, you perform. You do like you know, different performances and stuff like that. Like, you perform at these different, like, whether it's at like a club or whether it's at like a you know, like them festivals and stuff like that. That's how people really get on. Like, they really just perform, you know. Like, yes, you know, being played on the radio and being played in the club is like a huge plus, don't get me wrong, but you start noticing, like, artists get more known by just performing because you build up that cult following. You get what I'm saying? So,
right, that's the thing. I used to think, I'd be like, at the time, I was just like, all right, this ain't never gonna work. I have to make a radio song.
Right.
And I have to make a club song. That's how I used to think. And I was so focused on that I wasn't even creating the way that I was. I started having writer's block because I feel like I'm trying to do something to, like, not necessarily, like, kind of, like, please the people that are in love with this particular type of music.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it's like, I enjoy the fact that, and like the fact that I don't have to do that.
Right.
Per se.
So earlier we was talking about, like, 90s music and stuff like that, and I think it was a long time ago, I had an artist named Galilina. It's hard for me to pronounce different artists' names. They know who I'm talking about, because we had a discussion about 90s music versus 2000s music. You know, of course, us, sure. You know, we was born in the 90s. You know, I was born 92, you was born 94. So, like, what's the difference between, in your opinion, like, the 90s and the 2000s? Because I always felt like the 2000s was also, it's also like a golden era of its own, because it brought out more creativity and more freedom for the artists. So, like, where you see, like, the comparisons, and which era is better?
I just feel like the 90s era is better.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the 2000s had a lot of songs, but, like, a lot of great songs and stuff. And a lot of good artists came out at the time, but a lot of them aren't even around anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like with the 90s whole situation, I feel like everything down, like, I kind of wish maybe I was born a little earlier just so I can, like, experience everything firsthand instead of having to grow up and teach myself and learn about what was going on.
Right.
But I feel like, of course, the style was better. I don't think... Well, the early 2000s, there was no swag, right? Like,
nah, the two early...
I don't think there was no
swag. Yeah, the early 2000s...
It was some weird...
Yeah.
The 90s swag, like, that was just, like... It was a different, like... You go back and you want to... I don't know how to explain it, but the 90s... Everything about the 90s was just lit, period.
Yeah.
But the music, it was, like... So that's part of the reason why, like, a lot of times, like, I know how to write love songs. Like, I have a whole bunch of songs that I haven't ever put out before. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, the things that they talk about and their content, their kind of music makes you believe in love.
Right.
And it has, like, or even if, like, you're going through a breakup, it's not like, fuck that bitch or fuck that nigga. It's like, I'm really going through this. Or if it's like the guys aren't afraid to say they love a girl.
Mm.
You know, and it's just like, it's just a whole different type of vibe. And it's like, a lot of the people, like, a lot of my friends don't listen to stuff like that. Like, they're into the type of stuff that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, when I speak to people sometimes, And I asked them, like, what type of music they listen to. You know, some people say all type of stuff, but I just feel like if you understand that 90s sound and, like, the music, I feel like sometimes your mentality of what love is a little different.
Right.
Like, I can relate to that. Because, like, that's what I listen to. And even though I might feel a certain way, like, love in general, when I listen to the 90s R&B and to hear them talk about love, it's like, all right. It's okay. There's, like, mm-hmm. shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, compared to now, it's just, like, everything is about sex with R&B artists.
Right.
That's all they think about. So it's just like, all right, so every R&B nigga has good dick. I don't understand. Nobody does. Oh, you know, all the R&B girls is just, like, you know, fuck that nigga. And, like, he's just a fuck boy. Da-da-da. It's just, like, different types of shit going on. Mm-hmm. But then with the early 2000s, I do fuck with 2000. I'm trying to remember who was really up.
Yeah, Alicia Keys, you know, had the Neo Soul. Neo Soul was big. Yeah. Fantasia. Like,
no, I really do. Like, they're part of my throwbacks, too. Like, I feel like the 90s was more, like, laid back.
Yeah.
But, like, the early 2000s, I feel like the beat started getting a little...
high tempo.
Was a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference. But everything else, I'm just... I lean more into the 90s, but I do love a lot of the 2000s songs.
Yeah, because, you know...
Now, hip-hop thing, hip-hop is a whole different genre, man.
What about that? What's the comparisons with hip-hop with the 90s and 2000s? Why?
Oh, my God. That's
like, you know, I love to talk about this, especially with the up north folks, you know, because that's when 2000s to me, honestly,
mm-hmm.
early 2000s was like the gold standard of what hip hop is right now, because from like 2000 to probably like 2004.
Right.
2005, you had every region was like, you had the West Coast, you had the East Coast, you had down South, you had the Midwest, and you had like the Caribbean. Like, everyone was making so right. much music. Then, you know, of course, from 06 probably to like 09 to like the early 2010s, like, of course, you know, you had the South, and the sound started to change a little bit. And even for myself, like, I was talking to a shout out the Dylan 333. He's a 90s kid, but he was like born in 99. So like his taste of music is different from ours. You get what I'm saying? But even he went back and did some homework on like how like 90s, you know, hip hop and early 2000s was more enjoyable to listen to now. So like, what's your opinion on that?
I have to look at my target. That's the problem. I mean, see, the rappers today, they're not doing their research.
Right.
I'm not saying that they have to. Like, by no means, you don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like. Well, I mean, guys, and we're in a different time. Like, we're in social media.
That's in doubt.
So, that's the biggest thing right now. Like, that has turned rap inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that all of it is trash.
Yeah.
But it's a whole bunch of bullshit. It's the same recycled beats. It's the same flows. And the same content. I feel like the only difference is that, I mean, a lot of these guys have, like, unique voices. I'm not gonna lie.
Right.
Some guys are just fun to rap alike.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're joking around. Like, 21 Savage is just, like, you just fucking around when you're rapping with him or some shit.
Yeah.
You're screaming like 6 times. And then, there's a couple of young dudes out there. I know the YBN boys. I don't know. But it just all sounds the same. And it's like, I can't take a lot of it serious.
So who do you listen to, like, now, dude? Like...
Because, like, my thing is, like, I literally listen to the same shit. Like, I've been listening to the same Bryson Tiller album, the last one he had for like mad long. That's always, I listen to a lot of Jack Weiss, I'm not gonna lie.
Right.
I still listen to like the early mid 2000s back to the 90s. Like, I'm really not hip to what's going on. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. And it's not that I do know the songs, but it's never on my playlist. I barely listen to Drake like that anymore.
You know what?
So it's like, I don't know.
You know what? You hit something, because I'm the same way. Like, I'm more, it's a certain selective of new artists I probably like listen to, or like, you know, I either go, like, for example, like, you had 90s and 2000s, you could always go back. That was like an era. And then like, people don't realize, but Drake and J. Cole and Kendrick and Wale, all of them been out for a while. So like, they getting to that point where they're not really part of the generation. They more like the generation that was before. You get what I'm saying? Like the new generations, like the 21 Savages, Kodak Blacks.
I'm into this conversation because they're not a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I feel like, here's the thing. There's a difference between, in my opinion, there's a difference between artists and rappers.
What's the difference? Artists,
singers. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's people that are born to do music, and there's people that, you know, they just do music. Mm-hmm. And me, personally, I can tell the difference in people. I can tell by the way they act, their how they speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. You can be the trashiest rapper, but if you're speaking about it and like, this is be a passion, like, I can feel that from you. But it's like, a lot of times, a lot of like these new artists or whatever, like the young generation, I guess you want to call them. It's like they just, a lot of their stories are like, I started rapping 2 years ago.
Right.
Or like, I started rapping. You know, like, I started rapping a year ago. I just did a song and it popped off. And then it's like, there's other artists who, like, been doing it for mad long.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are artists. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, I've noticed that it's definitely more of a journey for actual artists than it is for just some regular rapper or just a regular singer. Not that, you know, their hustle is different, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but, like, I can't tell different people's stories, but that's what I've seen. And it's not the shit on, like, who's just, like, in the basic category of rappers and singers. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Like,
let me ask you this, because it's a whole bunch of reasons why it's like that. And it's a disconnect between each generation. You remember back in the 70s, 80s, you know, 90s, the generation that was before us was like, you know, like, they had to literally search for beats. They had to search for crates and stuff, like, right, the music. Like, they had to, like, run around and stuff, right? For us, we, thank God, we had more technology and stuff like that, but we didn't have streaming back when we was, like, teenagers and stuff like that. Like, we had to use, like, LimeWire, FrostWire. We had to, you know, some people had to. Yeah, some people had to. We actually had, like, a lot of these kids these days, like, that's born, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s and stuff like that, they don't know nothing about, like these different, like, mom and pop shops that you could actually go and get CDs. They don't know about CDs like that. You get what I'm saying? And I remember I asked a couple people about, like, streaming, like, easy access to music, does that destroy the hunger of wanting to know more music? Like, do you think, because, you know, it's easy access now, like, let's say I'm 27, let's say I was, like, 17 years old, right, and I'm like, all right, I got Apple, I got Spotify, I see a LL Cool J album come up, I'm like, I can listen to that later. I'd rather listen to such and such, like, someone more in my new era. Do you think that kind of separate or, like, have, like, a gap between the different generations of them doing their research and stuff like that?
I mean, I feel like they just rapping for the lifestyle.
Right.
I mean, if I could, if I was in control, I would probably take it back to where social media followers and you acting like an idiot online doesn't determine your talent.
Right.
Or if I could go back in the time where you had to stalk the DJ or some shit. You just wanted to, you just had to like take that trip to NYC and go to the freaking radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you were here in DJ Envy somewhere, you about to go run up and do something like.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the times where like you have to actually be on your feet and actually be out there and network by foot.
Right.
So it's like now it's just like, I feel like, honestly, for the social media now, I just feel like you don't really even have to, it's not, you always don't really have to perform, to be honest, a lot of the times. And it's like, that's important, but it's like, all you really have to do is just, like, make a dope song, make dope videos, act like an idiot,
mm-hmm.
and then everything just, sometimes it just falls into place, and then those shows come next. And I can tell that a lot of rappers, when they come out, aren't used to performing by the way they perform on stage. The fucking mm-hmm. microphone is all the way out here.
Mm-hmm.
You have no breath control. You're all over the place. Like, I can just tell. Compared to somebody that's, like, that's been doing this, you can just tell the difference. And that's how, like, it's just, it's too easy now. That's the problem. It's just way too easy. It's like, they just let anybody in.
Like, yeah, because, like,
it's not...
No, what you was about to say?
No, I was just saying it's just too easy. That's all.
Yeah, like even with DJing, like, you know, you got people that, you know, in our time, you know, when I was 15, 16 years old, like I still had to, social media just started like with MySpace and all that, and it was easy, but you really had to still chase down artists. Like, the only thing that you, if in order for you to work with an artist to get their music, even though we had social media at that time, it's not like Instagram and like Twitter. You still had to know somebody to be like, hey, I know this boy named DJ Anonymous. Like, he wanted to work with you. Like, oh yeah, cool man, we could work, because they built that trust. Like, that dude knows somebody that I want to work with, and that person want to work with me because we know the same people. Nowadays, it's just like, shit, I see you on social media, I just DM you, and it's easy. You know, like, you literally one share away from becoming big. And it got it, like,
it's... Getting in contact is easier. The communication is easier.
Yeah. For me, I'm not complaining for you know, with the podcast and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, I had to also put on my DJ hat, and I'm like, there's a lot of artists out here that I wouldn't want to work with. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of them that, like, I look at other, like, I'm not blasting nobody and stuff like that, because everybody got their grind. But I look at some podcasts, and, like, I feel like they just interview people just to interview, you know. If it was that easy, I'd probably have hundreds of interviews, you know, right now. But you got to be selective. Like,
yeah, there's an art to everything.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, same thing when it comes to music. I feel like people just do the music just to get the hype, to get the followers up and stuff like that. They don't, like, what I miss, like, that we didn't talk about yet was that, like, all right, like, for example, whenever, like, a Jay-Z album came out, or a Scarface album came out, or a Trick Daddy album came out, like, that album lasted for about 2 years, 2.5 years, you know, instead of, like, oh, they got to come out with an album next year, or an album the next 6 months and stuff like that. You get what I'm saying? Like,
this is... I mean, see, because nowadays, to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And you make your one hit, everybody's gonna be like, they just gonna make that one song. And a lot of times, sometimes artists don't even bounce back after that one song.
Right.
but their second album don't do as good as the first album.
Right.
So it's like, I just like, that's kind of how I think about things. Like, I would want to be that artist that has like such a solid fan base and great music that I don't even have to be on the social media. Like,
no,
it's just like, sometimes you hear about me, it's like, oh, word on the street, Sag about to drop an album. Like, I don't even have to do the promotion because they're doing it for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't need to be involved in all this bullshit that's online. That's how I see myself being. Because I'm honestly not into this whole social media shit. Like, if I wasn't doing music, I wouldn't even be on it. Because I don't care about it.
I'm the same way.
And the thing, I really don't. It's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too much. And it's like, I'm only doing it for one reason and one reason only. And even trying to build that is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I could sit there and post a freaking selfie and get like 500 likes on it. The minute I post a song, it's like, where them same 500 people at? It's just like, it's shit like that. And those are the type of things sometimes, like, it could just tear you down a little bit. Because especially when you know you've got good shit and you just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just, a lot of the times, like, it's shit like that. Or I feel like you got to have a certain amount of followers for people to kind of take you serious. Or what if I sat here and posted a picture with a celebrity and I posted it? That's going to get hella likes just for the simple fact that I'm with a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, I just feel like, and another thing is like, when I look at myself, if I was like a famous person or something,
mm-hmm.
I look at myself being that one because I know how it feels to kind of like, every artist at some point, if not, has to had commented or yeah. inboxed something. Like, I've been trying to reach out to Rico Love for I don't even know how many fucking years. Even if it's me on Twitter, he don't check his DMs or nothing.
Yeah.
But it's like, I would be the artist because I know that feeling of just like, I don't even want you to listen to my music and be like, okay, I want to sign her.
Yeah.
It's just the fact of like, sometimes you need somebody that's a higher level to give you confirmation. And like, if I was, like, on a higher level and I see somebody be like, all right, can you check this out, blah, 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 big fans, da, da, da. I'll probably be one of the people that's going to read your comment. I'm going to click on your shit. I'll just repost it on my page. It ain't that big of a deal. Now, guess what? If I'm that artist and I'm just famous and popular and shit and I have, like, freaking 2 million followers, I'll post you on my Insta story just for the simple fact of me doing that is going to help that artist be taken more serious. Because that's how people view people anyway.
Right.
You know? If famous people have such a big effect on other people's lives, why the fuck should I listen to you if you don't even know any celebrities? You don't know, there's no backing up behind you. It's just that you just have this song that you're telling everybody to click on. And it's just like sometimes Chris Brown might post somebody on his page.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I remember I seen it. I witnessed it a couple times. He posts very randomly out the blue. He'll post somebody that he just seen on Explore page or YouTube or something. He'll post it. And you know his views is up there. I go and click on the bull page and he got all of this love. Like, look, I seen you on Chris Brown page. Da, da, da. It's just the little things matter.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, because I remember, it's funny you said that. I remember a while ago, 2 Chainz had like one of my post and somebody was like, oh, 2 Chainz had like one of your pictures. I'm like, what? Like, how you notice that? You get what I'm saying? And what I also learned too, especially in this era, is that it's true, you gotta have a lot of clout. And sometimes yeah, I feel like it's bullshit because it be some people, like I said, like, you could be with some artists, some people that got a platform or producing stuff, and I'm like, I'm not trying to be a hater, it's just that how you got so many people. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to understand. Like, and then when I peeped, it's true, like, you know, most people just want to hit you up. If let's say, like, one day, I hope I do. Let's say one day I get an interview. I get an interview on Beyonce. Do you know how much people that will hit me up that probably told me no? In the first place, because I'm reaching out to different people and stuff like that. They're like, oh my gosh, let me get on your platform and stuff. It just, some of that, some like, when I see that, like, it be flawed. You get what I'm saying? Like, It's like a corrupt world. Like, people don't know what they want to do. But, like, luckily now, at this time, you got a lot of, like, you got a lot of people that want to work with people now. Like not just because of what they have, but just, you know, like, hey, like, I want to support. You get what I'm saying? But it's just a lot of shady people out here, man.
That's why I just, like, my whole grind is different than other people's. But that's another story. So it's like, I kind of, like, I just understand how the whole, like, everything operates.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. So let's go the independent route. What made you want to create Trophy Music ENT?
Well, speaking in future endeavors, or whatever word Bill would use. Anyway, so yeah, I would pretty much look at it as like, I think what inspired me mostly, well, this was before, because I came out with Trophy Music in 2017, but I don't remember when he had it, but Jermaine Dupri had his 20th anniversary for So So Def. And I was just watching and I was like, this shit is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, just one man just created just like so many. Yeah, he just helped so many artists. Or even going, even as strong as the Bad Boys tour, like, that shit is amazing to me. So it's like, I just think about it and I just was like, I kind of want to do the same thing. Like, it's not like I don't just want to do music. Like, I literally want to do every damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just like, I know Drake is like, he was building his OVO headquarters.
Right.
Like, that's a goal right there. You know, just to have that. Like, I see myself like being more than an artist. Like, have a whole record label and just like all of that. So it's like, and then the whole Trophy Music thing is like, obviously, if I call myself Trophy the Sag, I'm just going to call it Trophy Music. At least, like, I know that if when I get to that point when I actually have, like, my first album, that's what it's going to be called. Like, this is just, like, me. It's the introduction to, like, exactly who I am. So it's like a whole label thing. And it's like, I know exactly where I want to go with it and what I want to do. So that's my shit. Nobody's taking that anyway, so.
That's what's up.
It's my shit.
Would you ever want to sign to a major, like have your label on a major label, or do, or would you go like distribution?
I mean, I would never, well, you know, I would never 100% sign to no label.
Right.
Especially because it's not putting negativity out there, but it's not guaranteed that I can even be able to pay their ass back anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why would I want to put myself in that position? But then again, like, I would probably do a half. Whatever freaking deals they be doing, just to have some backing behind it. But it depends. Like, all them labels are shady, bro. It don't make no difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it depends. Like I said, my situation is different between other people's.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like being independent 100% may or may not work for me, because like I'm working by myself. I don't have a team. Like, I have, like, supporters and shit like that, but I don't have that team. Like, a lot of artists have teams. So, like, it's just me. So, it's like, that's, like, a win or lose situation if I was to ever be 100% independent. Mm-hmm. Like, I would literally be doing a whole bunch, like, playing five different roles at one time, as well as trying to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's kind of like, I would have to, like, be in a in that position to, like, know what the hell I would do. But I know if I was to be 100% independent, I feel like I would be stressed the fuck out.
Right. Would you, like, what type of artist would you sign to your label?
All types of anybody. Like, I listen to anything, honestly. Like, I'm not that, like, uptight about the music industry. I'm really not. Like, I would sign rock artists, you know, neo soul, like soul singers, R&B, hip hop, even the young ones that we was just talking about.
Yeah.
As long as they're original with their shit, I'm not signing no bullshit, because Trophy Music doesn't sound like bullshit, so why would I sign bullshit? So it's like, it's like when rock, when people think of trophy music, like I just think of that, just like it just sounds dope just to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like that's what I would have to have, nothing but dopeness on it. And I don't care what genre you do, as long as you're talented as hell and you have the grind for it and we're on the same page, everything is good. But it's like I have this bit of like, you know, I have artist friends that like that are don't have as much as well. May not have a team, but might have a team. So different situations, but like at the end of the day, I kind of just feel like if I was to put myself on, those would be the first people that I would bring along with me to be a part of it, and they know that already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I have a vision for me and as well as my people. Things of that. So when I say like I don't have a team, I'm talking about like a solid, just like people behind me that's not my friend.
Right. Like people, yeah. Like people that just want to be like, I want to invest in you, because I see you working.
I'm not even like, all right, I need you to invest in me, because I've been investing in myself.
Yeah.
Since I started work at like 16, 17, that's what I've been doing. I never asked or looked for somebody to invest in me or do this and that. I just be needing somebody to work with and understand the vision.
Right.
Of understanding that we could be getting this money together. I have no problem doing my own shit as long as you're doing your part with this. Or, like, even just going half. I would never want somebody to 100% do that for me, for the simple fact that people are still shady as hell.
Right.
And, like, you never know what people could throw back in your face.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I just need people that have the same drive as me and understand. And it's not necessarily about, well, how much can you do for me now? Mm-hmm. Understand that we could do this together and get to this particular point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to find people like that, because everybody's just straight to the money and shit like that. It's just hard to find genuine people like that. And I've been in and out of all types of situations, and it's ridiculous.
Keep me in mind, because we can talk about that after the interview, but keep me in mind, because I love supporting artists like yourself that's really hungry to get where they want to be at. You get what I'm saying? Like, with no bullshit, because as a DJ, I had a lot of artists come up to me and ask me to help them and stuff like that and this and that. And I'm like, okay, cool, I can help you out, but we got to meet halfway. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to, like I always tell people all the time, like, I don't care if you blow me up all day. Like, I love that. Why? Because you hungry. You get what I'm saying? Like, you want to go to the next level. It's like, one day I was just like, I don't want to be a part of the whole group of people. Like, I look at people like Jay-Z and Beyonce and Oprah and Bill Gates and all these individuals that I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of that level, you know. It take time, but I want to eventually get into that realm, you know, where people could just look at me like, damn, I'm trying to be like you. You get what I'm saying? Like, never satisfied, just always hungry. But that's what's up. So let's talk about Jersey music. And before we recorded the episode, you was talking about South Jersey, where, you know, you where you from. For the people that don't really know, I guess, the history of Jersey music and that. Cause, you know, every state, every city got that. Like, you know, for example, like me, I'm from Miami, Florida. So South Florida and North Florida is totally different, especially when it comes to music. North Florida is more countryer, it's a little bit more laid back. Where South Florida is the city life. You know, not compared to LA or New York. I still tell people all the time, like, you know, it's still the South. You get what I'm saying? But the music is more fast-paced, and it's a little bit more, how you call it, a little bit more energy than the northern part of Florida. So, like, Explain like the difference between North and South Jersey to the people that don't know about Jersey.
I feel like when people speak about Jersey, they're referring to North Jersey. And North Jersey is next to New York as well.
Right.
But North Jersey, their whole vibe out there is good. And they support each other out there. Or unless niggas be hating on the low, but a lot of like artists pop off out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're just local celebrity or some shit, it don't make no difference. It's all types of shit out there. Besides music, arts, the fashion, everything out there, there's just a lot of shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to where I'm at, it's very suburban. It's mm-hmm. a suburban type situation. And North Jersey has more like a city feel to it.
Right.
I know there's a central Jersey, which people really don't like to speak of because they think that shit's corny. Because, like, what the fuck is a central Jersey? That's just like where a whole bunch of like white people are.
Yeah, we got Central Florida. Central Florida is the same way, like Orlando and all that. Yeah.
Right. And then it's like the LGBT community in North Jersey is ridiculously big.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like out here, it's just dry as hell. Like,
mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of talented people out here, but nobody supports each other out here. It's so dry and there's no motivation. And mm-hmm. that's how I came up with Favors, to be mm-hmm. honest. That inspired me, and when I said that I have to leave the 609 because I'm from the 609,
mm-hmm.
and this whole area is just not motivating
mm-hmm.
for somebody like myself or anybody else that's just so hungry to like see the world,
mm-hmm.
and it's just hard to. There's no opportunities out here for us, and it's like it's so suburban, and it's like I live around a whole bunch of niggas, like a whole bunch of black people,
yeah,
and it's just a whole type of bullshit going on. It's like. Everybody's in competition with each other, but nobody's even on this higher level to even be in competition, period.
Right.
So it's like, that's anything. So then it's like, it's just weird. Like, it just sucks that it has to be that way because it's like, how can North Jersey take South Jersey serious when South Jersey's shitting on each other?
Right.
It's the thing. And it's like, I hate to be, to say, like, I appreciate being from here for the simple fact that it helps me to understand people at an early age and how shit really is, and it kind of helps me to grind harder in different situations like that. But it's just two different vibes. Like, there's nothing out here, bro. Like, Philly used to be our go-to. Like, North Jersey has New York, we used to have Philly, but mm-hmm. Philly isn't what it used to be anymore. Like, you used to want to be in Philly. That's what opportunities was. Like, mm-hmm. towards times when we were still battling on the street. Like, Philly was just that spot to go to, especially mm-hmm. for music. But now, that's not our shit no more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I look for opportunities. I'm looking towards North Jersey, New York, or extending my horizons out more. But I feel like if you want to be in any type of business out here, you got to move. Because there's nothing out here at all. And shit will literally put you in a fucking depression out here when you're that passionate. Because I've been there mad times. And mm-hmm. I used to just be frustrated as hell. It just gets frustrating. Literally. Like, it really does. So that's kind of why I started. I was like, all right, I got a network. I have to find my way to get the hell up out of here. Or else I'm never going to. Like, I remember being young. And then a lot of the people that I grew up with that were older than me, I would say, they still out here just doing the same shit that they was doing like when we were younger. And I'm just like, that can't be me. Like, I'm not trying to, I'm 24 now, and it's like, I'm not trying to be almost 30 still living in this dry-ass town with nothing to do but working.
Right.
So that's why when I hit you up and I'm like, they got me closed, and I was mad as fuck. Because I'm like, come on now. Like, that's anything. I'm like, I got shit to do. And it's just like the feeling of me having to wake up at 5 o'clock every day or 4:50 to go to a job that I don't want to be at and have to listen to somebody and deal with that stress and bullshit of my job, period. It just irritates my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why I come up with Favors, because it's like, I'm tired of this shit. And it's like, I can't, it's not out here. It's so different than North Jersey, but it's the simple fact that, like, if I have a long day at work and I'm irritated, there's so many different spots you can go to when you live up north. Just to hang out, to eat. There's so much different shit to do up there. Out here, you're not going to find shit but a damn Friendly's, typical-ass dry restaurants, fast food. It's nothing out here. It's just dry. The weed is dry. Everything is just trash. It sucks. It just really sucks. And it's like, I feel like if the artists out here actually, like, wasn't so damn greedy with the music, it could be something. But, you know, it is what it is. I feel like if somebody makes it out here for real, it is just gonna hate on the nigga. Because, I don't know if you know who Mike Zompi is.
Yeah,
he's from here. And when he made it, niggas was just hating on the bull. For what? You got to the point, like, the nigga was trying to put his town on, but niggas was hating on him. And it's like, what are you hating on him for? And then they get mad and say, he ain't doing nothing for us. Why would you want to do something for people that's hating on you, hating on your success? Because y'all wasn't supporting him when he was trying to get y'all to buy his beats. Right. You know what I mean? It's shit like that. That's just like, if I was to get famous, I know a lot of people that would hate that shit. Especially dudes, because they'd be the worst. So it's just like, if it's that whole support shit out here, it's just not what it is. North Jersey definitely has more support. But at the end of the day, as much as I have a love and hate, like, I don't have issue with my town, it's just the people in it. But at the end of the day, it's like, I appreciate and I accept where I'm from. So it's like, I've dated people up north, and they be like, ew, you live in South Jersey? What the fuck is that? Oh, you live in Camden? What is it, Camden? I don't live in Camden. I live here. It's just a whole different type of shit. They just look at you as, like, a freaking rug on the ground. That's what I'm going to look at you as.
Yeah, so. I mean, I was, like, because what, Trenton is up north, right? And this is up North Jersey, right? Or south?
Trenton is, like, south. Yeah, south. It's further down more.
Yeah, because I had an artist, well, I told you about the artist, Valona Denise, and she was telling me the same way, like, how she said, like, North Jersey is more... It's more activity up there, and she also talked about the LGBT community and stuff, because, you know, she's a part of the community. And she was telling me, like, how it's so different up there, but she eventually moved to L.A. And she took, like, a leap of faith. She was just like, fuck it, I'm finna go out here, because she built connections out there over for, like, 3-4 years. And she was like, fuck it, I'm finna go out there and stuff. And I remember I went out there with her. And when I had left, it was kind of hard for her, but now, like, she's doing so good, you know? And she was just like, you know, she said that's the thing about Jersey. Like, a lot of people move out of Jersey to go to different places and stuff because so many people want to hate on each other and stuff like that. And I always thought Jersey people, you know, connected because, you know, I think about, like, the people who came out, like the Queen Latifahs, the Redmans, like the Lauryn Hill. There's so many people that came out of Jersey, but I don't know if it's always been that way or it's because, you know, it is what it is, you know, because, you know, it was a point of time, you know, a person from the South always felt like Jersey was always overlooked because of, like, the New York and the Philadelphias and stuff like that and the Bostons. And, you know, hearing, you know, even hearing from yourself and a few other artists from Jersey, I hear the same thing, like, you know, y'all don't really support each other when it comes to, like, oh, this man blew up, or she blew up, like, y'all, like, I that's crazy, man. I thought Florida was like that, but Florida is more like people be in their own groups, but we still support each other somehow, some way. You get what I'm saying? Like, when one person blew up, because it was a point where it was probably like 2 or 3 different artists would come up, will blow up like every like 10 years, you know? But now it's like, you know, we get into a point like Atlanta, like, you know, we get a few artists come out like here and there, probably like 3 or 4 artists every year or so. So, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I just felt like if I wasn't from here and I had the opportunity, I probably would have been further than where I am now. That's without a doubt. And at the same time, a lot of artists have family or automatic connections in different parts of, you know, the U.S. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm one of them people. I can't just sit here and call my auntie or cousin or my brother and sister who lives in... Well, my brother lives in L.A., but he's just... He's like a... he travels a whole about the world, so he's never around. Yeah. But it's like I could just sit here and call people and be like, all right, I'm trying to move out there, da-da-da, and take that flight and go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my situation, I like that. It's like, if I'm moving and relocating, I'm doing it with by myself with the bread that's in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends don't... A lot of them aren't in a job that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're still trying to have enough to do certain shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other friends that are just, like, in relationships, so they not about to pack up and leave with their Jones, shit, whatever, but they move in mm-hmm. and with their girlfriends and boyfriends, their first apartments and shit like that, you know? I still live here with my mom helping her out.
Mm-hmm.
And things... So it's like, I can't just sit here and just pack up and leave and stuff like that, but if opportunity comes, like, I'm gone, period. Like, you know, I can't wait to quit my damn job. That's why I was trying to... That's why I'm just holding it down long enough so I finally get to that... Being able to be like, all right, I can go and just, like, probably... I don't want to just leave with nothing. Like, that's not how I'm trying to be. I just can't do that. So that's why I'll probably, like, transfer job locations, which is a good thing. I can do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not trying to be asked... not trying to be a typical person and have a typical struggle story. Yeah, I moved to L.A. and Atlanta, and I didn't have shit in my pocket. I was sleeping on this, and I'm not mm-hmm. trying to... You done heard that before. Like, I'm not trying to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would rather tell somebody that I stayed home, lived with my mom, stacked my bread, and moved myself out. I'm not trying to struggle and shit like that.
Right.
So it's like, everything's opportunities is different. So it's like, I truly do believe that. Like, if I did not live out here, I would have been further than what I am right now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be frustrating. Because I know where I need to be and where I need to go and who I need to connect with. And the only way that I can do that is through the social media.
Yeah, nigga,
that's
see
the,
that.
That's the only thing I can do. I can't just freaking buy a plane ticket and go.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do shit like that.
Right.
And that's what sucks. So it's like, I just like, that one opportunity, I don't even care if it's like, a show. It was like a show in Miami, some shit. Like, best believe that my next check, well, I don't care what the situation is. Later, Carmen, bitch, I'm putting that money on the side, taking that plane ticket, I'm going. Just to go perform somewhere that I've never been before. Somewhere that I know I can get a benefit from. That's how I feel.
Well, hey, I know people down here that's, because Miami is starting to get more involved with the festivals. Cause one thing I love about like LA and like New York and Atlanta and like, you know, these different places like Toronto and all that, like they have like festivals for the, you know, for the local talent, and also for like, of course, the artists that's, you know, out of town and stuff like that. But they festivals is 100% dedicated to like, you know, to trying to groom some artists and, you know, come out the city. And there's different people every day that I know personally that have these festivals and stuff like that. So whenever something come up, you know, I'ma holler at you about that, cause you know Miami's a big market too. You know, so
yeah, like I already got like my little $400 saved up for an ATL trip. Like, I'm not playing no games.
Yeah, I feel
like I'm ready to go. Like, I'm just at that point where I would just, like, literally just pack my shit and just go. I've been reached my breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. And it's just, like, I can think where I'm from for that shit. Because I can't just be out here just living and working in this dry-ass area. Like,
right.
It's not for me. And I'm not trying to have my mom working two jobs for the rest of her life, neither. I just can't see myself doing that.
Right. At all. Ain't nothing, it's nothing wrong. I always tell people all the time, there's nothing wrong with evolving. And, you know, not just for yourself, but the people around you. You get what I'm saying? Because that's going to make you even hungry to do more. You know, and that's something that, see, you good with astrology. I'm a Capricorn, so I definitely don't like being on the same, you know, level all the time. And, you know, I talk to my wife all the time, and I tell her, am I crazy for, like, you know, being frustrated all the time because I don't, you know, want to be in the same, you know, same level?
God, that's so me. That's me all the time. Yeah. Especially with the person that I'm talking to now, like, they probably get tired of me. But, like, sometimes, no lie, bro, I be waking up and I'm just in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Because I literally, or if I'm at work, and sometimes I just randomly start thinking about, like, damn. Or if my boss tells me to do some shit, I'm like, why the fuck I want to do shit? I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I don't even care about this job. Like, I'm going to be somebody anyway. Yeah. But it's just, like, the thought of it all is just frustrating because, like, I know that this is not what I'm supposed to, this is not what I'm meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I have to do it to get where I have to be. But there's times when I just get so frustrated because I'm like, damn, I feel like I should be further than where I am. Or I feel like I want to do this instead of this. Like, I'm not trying to do all this. Like, I would rather wake up on a flight on my way to Jamaica or some shit.
Right.
Than to wake up going to fucking work to freaking do mess with mail. So then, right. Then that's why the person I talk to would just, like, be like, you got to be on God's time and give me the whole speech and shit. Helps me keep calm. But this is, again, where the song Favors came about.
Right.
So I understand that whole frustration shit because that's me and living 4 days a week. And yeah. I just go MIA on people. Like, I just don't want to talk because, like, I'm in my thoughts and in my feelings and overthinking about shit that's not even in my control. So I get that frustration.
But you know what, though? I'm not, like, when it comes to social media, honestly, I had to tell myself, I was like, you know what? Don't let social media take over my life. Let me take over it. Meaning, like, when I did the podcast, one of my goals was to the network. Because I tell people all the time, don't just start a podcast just to start a podcast. A podcast is really a cheat code for you to network with different people in different places. And I was like, instead of me, like, because I'm not the type of person to be on social media all the goddamn time either. Like, I don't just be liking people's stuff and going through different videos and stuff like that. I'm like, hey, I'm like, all right, I'm a DM a few people a day to come on the show and, you know, talk about their journey and stuff like that. But also, like, you know, build a relationship. You get what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, I tell people all the time, it's like, with social media, it's cons, but it's pros. Like, do what you gotta do on social media, and just leave it alone for the rest of the day. Cause that's what I do. Cause
I
don't see how people sit on social media all day and just like every picture, like just.
You know, you won't see me in, like, barely nobody shit. Unless, like, I know you for real. Yeah. I'm not with the shit. And I might post on my Insta stories or whatever, but, like, honestly, like, the majority of the people that listen to my music are females. Mm. So that's what I expect and that's what I want. So it's like, I have to give them eye candy. That's just how it goes.
Right.
But it's like, I'm trying to be showing my face on the damn shit all the time. And it's like, when you go on my page, you're going to see I upload photos like once a month or once every 2 months.
Right.
And it's like, at the same time, I realized I have to be more consistent with my content, even if I don't want to be, but that's just what I have to do. And there are times when I would, like, when I would put, I remember I put myself in such a deep depression.
Mm-hmm.
Artist depression, that's what the fuck I call it, artist depression. Because mm-hmm. I was spending too much of my time watching other people's come-ups.
Right.
And or sometimes if you may feel like, say if you have your podcast and somebody else has their podcast, but the way that you guys interview are different. You're more professional and they're just like on some bullshit. Like, it's just mm-hmm. anything. And then it's just like, damn, they getting all this attention and likes and followers and views for doing this. And meanwhile, you're somebody who takes this serious, and like, this is something that you really do from the heart, and it's not getting that same acknowledgement. So I used to feel when I would be like, who the fuck is this? Like, their music, I'm not, this is what I thought, like, their music is trash compared to mine. I'd be like, what am I doing wrong? And I was like, do you mean to tell me I have to sound like this or act this way just to get some attention? And it was like, I'm not built like that. Like, I can't be somebody that I'm not. So it would be frustrating for me to consistently see that. Mm-hmm. Or if I was dating people and they're not playing Trophy Hit the Sag in the car, but they playing the next Lil Dyke Jones that's rapping some bullshit or some shit like that. Or just like things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to, it was kind of like an insecurity thing. Because it's just like, that's how I used to feel. And it was just like, all right, so, like, I don't see you ever, like, for us to be together, I don't see you, like, reposting my shit or showing love and support to mine. But it's like, you got time to sit here and repost and put Woman Crush 1J for Young M.A.? You know what I mean? It's just like, what the fuck? And it's like, a lot of the like, the girls that I've dated, they were like that. Mm-hmm. To the point of, like, they looked at it as, like, I don't want nobody to know who I talk to, so, like, I'm not gonna post you or some shit like that. Or, like, I know that music is your passion, and I'm gonna listen to it whenever you put it on, but it is what it is. I'm not, it is what it is. Yeah. And some shit like that. It wasn't until I dated the person I talk to now that actually does exactly what I want everybody else to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that social media shit can just fuck up your head, and I had to really take a step back from that and realize that my journey is different between other people's journey. And if people fuck with you, they gonna fuck with you. But I don't want the wrong people fucking with me by being who I'm not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Nah, that's true, because, like, you know, I tell Venona like that all the time, cause, you know, she's, you know, like I said, she's in the LGBT community too. And, you know, when she talk about the females and stuff like that, and I told her too, like, I went through that route too, like, especially before I met my wife, and I was dating girls, and them talk about another DJ, or they'll talk about even another artist. I'm like, I got this artist too that I'm working with. You get what I'm saying? Like, and it's just, you know, someone told me one day, it's natural if you really care about, you know, about your craft. You get what I'm saying? Like, you really care about, it's like a, what do you call that? Like, for my podcast, because I'm glad you brought that up too, because sometimes I be looking at people's podcasts. Now, there's some dope people that got great podcasts now. Like, shout out to the Nick Reed, shout out to the Audie Abyss, the Abyss and podcast. There's a lot of podcasts that I listen to, but there's some that's just like, nigga, like, I could cut. Yeah, you know, and like, it's just, I don't know, it's crazy, like, but it's something, honestly, from me to you, it's something that's just natural. Like, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, we may not seem like very competitive people out of the outside, but on the inside, we're very competitive and very, like, hey, sometimes it's good to be cocky, you know, but humble at the same time, you know, like, I was listening to Joe Budden pull up interview with him and 2 Chainz. And 2 Chainz was talking about, like, before he blew up, he was very cocky. But as he got the money, he started being more humble, because he learned that being humble, most people won't give a fuck about you if you kept being cocky once you go low. You get what I'm saying? So, like,
2 6 9.
Yeah, like, look at 6ix9ine. Like, I'm like, it's sad, like I never wish nothing on somebody, but I felt like he needed that. Like, he need to be in that position so it could humble him. You get what I'm saying? So when he hope to God he come out the jail, like, he don't have this, you know, ignorance no more about, like, oh, I'm this, I'm that, guns this and guns that. I'm like, bro, like, you don't need to do all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's what people like now, and I don't get that. It's a cold world.
I mean, I used to be like, why are all of these unhumble ass niggas don't really give a fuck about the art music, just do any old damn thing,
yeah.
just get on so fast. Mm-hmm. Like, it, and that's what I'm saying about, like, me looking at other people's lives because it's on social media and shit. Like, I'm not into, even if I was on like that, I don't think you would ever catch me flashing my shit because right. I'm not a flashy person anyway. I'm just regular.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not into all that extra stuff. But when you go and put yourself in that position where you're just judging yourself and somebody else's, like, that shit could really just fuck with you. And that's the whole point, like, the whole internet shit. That's what I'm saying. A lot of times, like, when I would, like, date, like, my exes or whatever, mm-hmm. it was sometimes, like, an insecurity thing because it's just, like, you're dating somebody who was doing this music shit, but it's, like, you're not showing me love the same way you're showing them love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, I don't... And it's, like, every girl that I've been with... I haven't been with that much. I'm a hoe. But every girl that I've been with, relationship-wise,
yeah.
I was always supportive of what they were doing. And they all do the same shit. I just keep attracting makeup artists and hairstylists. That's just what happens.
Right.
But it's just, like... Well, as a music artist, you need just, like, somebody in your corner. And you know sometimes they say the realest one of your team's times is either your girl or your man's.
Yep.
So I was really in, like, still in a low-ass space until, like, the girl I started talking to now. Like, we started talking, like, October. And it's, like, she just, like, came out of nowhere. We just started talking. And she has uplifted me more musically than anybody else has ever done as far as who I've dated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when I go through those moments where I'm just like in sinking myself back into that hole, she says some uplifting ass shit. And since then, I've been on my grind more because I tend to fall back when I get into that space.
Mm-hmm.
So she just said something one day in this long ass paragraph. And then I remember that's when I created, I think a little after that, probably before, it was the Stripper Tales, and I didn't know about putting it out because I was just tired of putting out music that's not being appreciated. That's mm-hmm. how I used to look at it. It's just like, I make these songs and I know that they're fire, but nobody cares to listen or appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And like sometimes you can, it could be like a feeling of like disappointment if I sit here and it's like I put out a song or whatever, nobody fucking listens to it.
Right.
But it's like the same 200 people that are consistently on my Insta stories every day know that I'm doing this, but they're not even listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like 500 people got time to like a picture. But the moment I post this particular song, where is y'all at?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's fire, but if I go look at an artist's page and each song is just like some any type of bullshit, I'm like, oh, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to take a step back and just be like, all right, don't compare yourself to that shit. You know? And sometimes I have to do that. Because yeah. Sometimes it really does get to me because I feel like I should be further than where I am. And sometimes I literally ask God, like, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do? Because, like, I'm trying, but there's something I'm not doing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like everybody's, like, situations is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I feel like a part of it is the fact that I do need to relocate.
Yep.
That's exactly how I feel because I'm a lot of times I'm getting writer's block, you know, because it's like I need to experience more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just in a freaking neighborhood in town of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'm not heartbroken anymore neither, so I have nothing heartbreaking to freaking write about. It's like now I'm just learning to manifest through the music. That's what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. Because I saw an interview on the Breakfast Club, and he was talking about the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
And he caught that murder case. He didn't have that murder case, but he made the song, Murder Was the Case That They Gave Me, or some shit.
Yeah.
And he wrote that before he caught the charge. So then he was talking about how all the rappers back in the day used to talk about how they were going to die before they turned 25 and shit like that, and they were dead.
Yeah.
So he was...
Well, I could say, like a lot of people just, I guess they love negativity, you know, in a way. But I also was going to tell you too, like, you know, once you go to the A or you come down to Miami, you need to just go to a strip club. That's how you can make more content, you feel me? So, the last two questions I want to ask you before we close it off is, who's in your top five of all time?
Oh, and R&B together or separate?
Oh, you could do it separately.
Okay. Because mind you, he's still, that Confessions album is still one of the best R&B albums ever.
Of course.
Period.
Which ones?
You said which one? College Dropout. What's that joint he had with when he was battling 50 Cent?
Oh,
when it was Wolf on his head. And I'm still waiting for what I've been waiting for. So that's definitely my top two. And then shit, I'll put Misty on the list. This list probably gonna change tomorrow. But this is who is coming to my head right now. Just for the simple fact, Missy Elliott has done every single thing I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially just like, yeah, everything. And I don't know. The list is kind of hard.
It's a lot of people. I know that.
Like, my R&B groups is like Destiny's Child, number one. Number two, TLC. Number three, SWV. Number four, Escape. Number five, Brownstone, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Between them, or you know, that was easy.
Yeah, R&B is easy. I know hip hop is, everybody, when it comes to hip hop, everybody has like a different, like it changes every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know.
But that's what, you the first up north, like, artist that say, like, Trina is in your top, like five.
It's like, why? I can't tell you how many people I put on the Trina when I was younger. Just listening to shit you had no business listening to.
I mean, like, you know,
like,
she the queen.
And back then, like, I was still bumping, like I knew about Remy Ma, the jump.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and I love battle rap. Just go at your neck.
Yeah, Remy Ma is very underrated, especially as a battle rapper. So where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
5 years from now, hopefully it's, well, we don't say hopefully, but we'll say Gunna. All right, so Gunna be like established musically.
Mm-hmm.
Solid fan base, on tours, plaques. Probably some movie deals. Yeah. And then hopefully Trophy Music will be like that label. And I don't know, hopefully I just get to do everything that I daydream about every damn day. And then 10 years from now, I hope all of that has established itself to the point that now I can do bigger things. Like, I don't know, I just want to do every damn thing. That's the thing. Same. And sometimes I act like I'm so damn old, but I'm not. And so sometimes I feel like my time is running out because I don't want to be those still trying to pursue the same shit. So that kind of sometimes puts me in a hole as well. And then I try not to think about that sometimes because, like I said, I started developing everything when I was mad young.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I see a new artist come out and they're, like, freaking 19 years old, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's when you start feeling it, because we was born 94, I was born 92, so, like, I'm like, damn, 27, shit. I remember.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm not even trying to think about that. So, like, if I hit 30 and I'm still in the same position, like, that's my biggest fear.
Right.
Like, that shit, I don't even know what to do, because, like, I'm not into school, and then I still owe them money. And then it's like, I'm not that shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I hate working 9 to 5s. What else can I do? Like, I done put all my time and dedication to shit. I gotta find something else or something. So, that's, like, my worst fear.
Yeah. That's so. Everybody's worst fear. Shit.
Right.
You know, so. But, you got any shout-outs?
Yeah. I'll shout out, this one. I'll shout out my, I'm gonna tell him to follow you too. He's like mad cool. His name is V's. That's like my number one man's, like, that's like my brother and everything. He has his own clothing line.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I talk about a young businessman that started this shit from the bottom and has his own shit, it's fucking inspiring as hell. And, yeah, so I just talk about him everywhere, so it don't make no difference. But I'm going to have him follow you or whatever. He's cool, cool, cool. And, shout out to, now, there are some DJs that definitely dub my ass. So, shout out to them. Even some that I know, that shit foul, but it's okay.
They what?
They foul. No, they just be foul.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to shout their names out. It's okay. And then, you know what? All right, we're going to say this. I'm not gonna sit here and act like I don't have people that support my shit, because that's a stretch.
Yeah.
Like, I've met people on the internet that support me more than people I know on a day to day basis.
Right.
That's just what it is, and they know who they are because I talk to them like they family, and I've never met them a day in my life. So shout out to them because I know they're gonna listen to this shit, whatever. And then shout out to everybody who act like they don't be listening, but they be listening because I know they are. I check the views and the plays every single day. I know you listening, sis. It's okay. You know? And then just shit like that, you know? It's probably be one of them interviews that might just pop up one day, and then we just gonna look back at it like, damn.
Yeah, it's classic gonna be, interview, you know?
It's gonna be like there's gonna be some, one, two, three, no matter how many artists, somebody on this joint that you interview is to be somebody one day, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I appreciate people that don't mind doing that for like artists that aren't even that established, because everybody has to start somewhere, and then it's just like one of them shits you look back on and be like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like a really good feeling. Sure.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. Don't forget about me when you blow up.
We forget about people like it ain't shit. But you have to mean something to us. So you mean something to me, so why would I forget you?
Exactly. Like, come on now. We we got a lot in common and stuff, and we could build, you know, because, like, at the end of the day, like, I tell artists all the time, I'm like, listen, like, your job is to build that foundation and move up. And if it's like, you can know, you gonna know who's real and who's not. You get what I'm saying? So, shit, you may end up having some people on your side that you never thought of being on your side. You get what I'm saying? So,
right.
It's a grind. So, but thank you for coming on the show. And this has been DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast. Episode 64 with Trophy Hitter Saz. I said it right.
That's why I'm going to send you a free shirt.
Thank you, yes.
That's why I'm going to send you a free shirt because you got Saz right.
Thank you. I want that shirt. I wear like a 2X, 3X, you know.
You can't see it, but it's a Trophy Music shirt.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, you got to send that to me. And we
love it, y'all.